Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to do a commentary on day 80. The verse at the top is Luke 19, verse 26, and it reads, "He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away." And that verse comes from Luke chapter 19, and the section is a section that has a subtitle in a lot of the Bibles called the Parable of the Ten Minas. And it's a parable that Jesus tells, and I'll read it. It says, while they were it begins with verse 11, it says, while they were listening to this, he went to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back, I would have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. When I first heard that, you know, everyone who has more will be given, it was like, whoa, you know, that doesn't seem very fair, you know. And yet, as I think about it and as I grow in my Christian walk, I realize what it's saying to me. It's saying to me that the question becomes one of knowing and believing the promises of God. The Lord has given me a promise. My life is a promise now. Now that I am a born-again believer, the promises in the Bible belong to me. They all are mine. They're mine in one way or another. And if I stand on those promises, if I believe them, then I have a lot. And as I believe it, I get more. But if I don't believe it, if I don't believe the promises, then they will be taken away. I won't get anything from them. And so it says here, he replied, I tell you that for everyone who has, and I have the full word of God. And so it says, everyone who has the word, really for me, that everyone who believes in what God says in his word, and they believe that it is true, then it says later on, more will be given. So that even reiterates the importance for me of being in the Word of God and hiding it in my heart and living it out in my life. Because when I don't know the promises of God, how am I going to live it? And so I'm grateful that Bible study, Bible memory, Bible working is all a part of my daily life. And I do know that as I stand on the Word of God, as I believe what He says, then things come about in my life. I am given more. Three of them that came to my mind when I was getting ready for this reading. One, I know that I hold on one of my memory verses. In fact, all of the ones that I'm going to talk about, these four memory verses for me. One is John 14:26, where when Jesus is speaking to his disciples before he goes to his crucifixion, and he says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. I had this fear that I would not remember the things that the Lord taught me, or I wouldn't remember what I had read in the Bible, or what others had said to me, or what I had heard that was helpful. And that verse reminded me that the Holy Spirit that lives in me, He is a living, homebound teacher. He teaches me from the inner parts of me. And I'm so grateful for that, because it helps me to let go of the fear. He's the teacher. He teaches me. And so I can learn from being still. You know, be still and know that I am God. And as I'm in that stillness, even as I read the Word, He vibrates. He takes off from what the Word, the truth of the Word. Another verse that really helps me a whole lot is that 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says that God did not give me a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. As a human being, I always come across times when I feel timid, or I feel reserved, or I feel like I want to hold back for whatever reason, whether I'm afraid of what people are going to say, or I'm afraid of what I don't know, or how I look, or how I might come across. And I love that verse because it reminds me that when He saved me, He put His Spirit in me, and that Spirit is not a spirit of timidity. It is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of love, and it's a spirit of self-discipline. I love that self-discipline part too, because there are times, you know, when I just feel so weary, you know, when things are not working out, I can remember that self-discipline means that I'm able in the spirit to rise above my feelings. You know, that even when my feelings are saying, oh, this is too hard, I can call on the name of the Lord. I can ask for a filling of His Spirit, and I can have the power to do what needs to be done by me. And that goes into the other one of the other verses that are so important to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that I can do all that the Lord calls me to do through Christ. And Christ strengthens me. I'm very grateful for that. And I have shared about the fourth one that really is very important to me is that Exodus 4:12. Actually, Exodus 4:11-12. You know, where Moses is fearful. He's afraid that he's not going to be able to do the job because he doesn't speak very well. He feels that he has a speech impediment. And I've shared about how I did have a speech impediment as a child. I had a cleft palate, and how I have always, the demons always used that as the ace in the hole, that out of nowhere sometimes is that thought, you know, whoa, you know, what did you just say? I can't hear you. I can't understand you. And verse says, then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. And boy, I hold on to that so much, you know, because I know that the Lord will be with my mouth and He will teach me what I need to speak. And so I'm so grateful. And so as I take those verses and make them my own, I stand on them, more is given to me. I know that. I feel that. I live that in my life. And as I stand on His Word, I have greater productivity. And I also have more victories. I learn to move not in fear, but to move in confidence. And it's His confidence. And it's not, you know, not a cockiness, you know, not a, oh, you know, I'm great stuff. You know, that's not it. What I'm saying is that because of the Spirit in me, I can go places and do things that if I thought about it, I can be fearful and sit down and won't do anything. And I'm grateful that I don't do that. And there are other verses, too, that I'm learning to stand on, you know, that I have been bought with a price. You know, that's from 1 Corinthians 6:20. He, you know, He went through to a great length to buy me. And so, and I also like that verse in Galatians 5:1 where it says that it is for freedom that I have been set free. So I don't need to be a slave to fear. And neither do I need to be a slave to my feelings. Oh my goodness, you know, that yes, I can acknowledge my feelings. Okay, Pat, you feel tired. Or okay, Pat, you feel scared. Or, you know, okay, Pat, you feel frustrated. All right. Okay, now, let's get to the truth. Is the Lord calling you to do X? All right, if He's calling you to do X, then, you know. So those types of things, you know, really help me to know that I have His power. And as I use that power, more will be given. But if I would be like that other person who would say, ooh, I have this power, but oh, I don't know about it. I'm not going to do, oh, I know what the Bible says, but I don't think I can do that. That's too much, you know. And I bury it, you know, woe is me, you know, because even what I have, you know, will be taken away. And I pray that I don't want to have to live in that way. And I was thinking about three things that is important for me to understand in order to really grasp what this verse is saying to me. One is that I have to know what has been given. I have to know what the Lord has given to me, and that's, again, why I read the Bible. I read the Bible and study the Bible because it's the owner's manual. You know, the Lord owns me, and He wrote this beautiful love letter called the Bible for me so that I could read it and learn about me, learn about Him, you know, learn about the Son that He sent to, you know, to send to set me free, the Spirit that He has left behind for me to have the power to live and help bring others to know Him. And so I have to know what I have been given. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that I have to value what has been given. Because if I don't value it, then I'll do something stupid like put it in a little piece of cloth and bury it in the dirt, you know? I don't think so. You know, the value comes when I understand what it says in Matthew verse, chapter 10, verse 8. It says, freely you receive, so freely you give, you know? So I have to understand that I have been given in order to give it away. And as I give it away, I actually get more. That's another thing that this verse is saying to me, that as I give it away, I get more. And so everyone who has, more will be given. So if I know that I have been given this power to give it away, then, and as I'm obedient to doing that, then I actually get more. And, you know, giving away is like investing. That's the, you know, the thing that I know for the third thing, too, that I have to, you know, that's an investment that I do, and I'm grateful for that. In that reading, it says, valuing the valuable. And it talks about a time before the abstinence that I have now, that I had 4.5 years, and now I did not get struck abstinent, and then all of a sudden I got 4.5 years. That wasn't it at all, because I used to come in and I came to my first meeting in my recovery program and did not go back until about 9 months later, when I had gained even more weight. And so I was not one of those people that came in and was struck abstinent for 4.5 years. But eventually I did get with the program, and I had about 4.5 years of abstinence. And as I have shared, then I was pregnant and came home from school one day and just started eating like crazy. And I can remember how I felt after I had done that. And actually, even before the 4.5 years, even if I had one day, like when, you know, before when I was trying to get those 4.5 years, if I would have one day or 2 days or something, and then I would eat, I still would have this horrible feeling, the same way I felt after I started eating after 4.5 years. I felt like a fool. That's what I felt like. And those of you who ever read that little comic called Peanuts, I felt like Charlie Brown and Lucy. That's what I felt like. You know, every year or every season, football season or whatever, it was the same old little comic strip. You know, where Charlie Brown would be coming down the street or whatever, and Lucy would have the football and said, "Oh, come on, Charlie Brown, I'll hold the football for you," you know. And every year, right before he would go running up to the football, and right before he would kick it, she would snatch it away, and he would fall on his back, and it would be like, and you would see this little cloud around his head, and he would go, you know, oh, you know, this little sigh. And every time he would do it over and over again, and I felt just like that. It would be like the demon would go, "Oh, come on, you know, you can get back on it tomorrow, or it's no big deal." And then sometimes I did it out of anger. "I'm tired of this. You know, I'm just tired of it. You know, I've done so-and-so, and look, nothing's happening," you know, whatever. And then I'm telling you, as soon as I would pick up and start eating, it would be like, "You fool." You know, it would be like Lucy, you know, laughing with the football over to the side, and I would be like Charlie Brown on my back again. You know, I had believed the lie again, and I don't want to be that way with the food, definitely. I want to remember truth, and the truth is that the Lord wants me serving him well, and when I am eating, it is not serving him well. In fact, it's a way that the demon uses to keep me stuck in my tracks. It keeps me running in place. You know, it keeps me living in fear. And so that's what I meant when I said in the beginning, if anyone can hear my voice, and if you're struggling with abstinence, two things come in my mind. One, make sure that you belong to the Lord. Make sure that you are his, because if you have that certainty that you are his, then you know that everything in the Bible says that his spirit has been placed inside of you. You don't have to worry about it. You know that it's true. The spirit is there. Whether you feel it or not, the spirit is there, and the spirit is powerful. And then the other thing is that, you know, start having the humility of working with someone. You know, particularly work with, you know, people who have an abstinence that you want, because they would teach you what they have done. You don't have to go and reinvent the wheel, but also they can help you through those blind spots. And it takes humility, you know, to be able to work very closely. And if that person is a believer, then they can help you even more, because they can help you to fill your mind up with truth. Because it's the truth that is going to set you free. As you read the Word of God, that truth that you read will enliven that spirit inside of you. You know, you feed that spirit as you read the Word of God, as you eat it, you know. One of the verses in the Bible says that, you know, how sweet are your words to my taste, and it says, sweeter than honey to my mouth, you know. And that's exactly what the Word of God is. It's sweet to my taste and like honey to my mouth. And I'm grateful. And so it says in the meantime, I have learned in my Christian walk that I have been given a spiritual gift to be used. And so this, the Lord has gifted me to help build the church. And as I use that gift, I actually get the abundant life that he talks about. I don't have to even pursue abundance. I don't have to pursue abundance. Abundance is the byproduct of my obedience to what the Lord gives me on a day-by-day basis. The more I use my gift, the more I, use that gift in a loving way, in the Spirit of God, under his directions, then I have that abundant life. And so I'm very grateful for that. I'll say one other thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to hear either from our shepherd, sometimes though she likes to wait until the end, or I'll hear from you. But if you have the book, in the back it says Digging Deeper, and they have three little bullets. And the last one, it says, if you have never identified your spiritual gift, a helpful tool can be found at this particular website. It's called teamministry.com. And that was very helpful to me to help me identify what my area of giftedness was. We come into the world, I have come to understand, with talents. We have talents, that the Lord gives us. Some of us are talented singers or musicians or teachers or whatever. But when we come, when we have new birth, he actually gives us gifts. And that means that I'm going to sometimes they run right very close to my talents that he's already given to me. Sometimes they don't. But a gift, of course, is going to be used to help build up the church. It's going to build up the body of believers. It is to help to equip people, equip those who already know him, so that they can go out and do good works for the Lord. I know that one area of giftedness for me is that gift of teaching. I'm grateful for what the Lord has done for me, in that. And I pray that when I teach, that you are equipped, that you actually feel strengthened to go and use your gifts to bring others to know him. And you encourage me. I have people who are encouragers, that is their gift. And I'm telling you, I could not make it without them. I have those who have the gift of discernment. I have people who, when they can, they can cut through a lot of stuff and discern things. I have those who have the gift of faith. They are prayer warriors. Oh my goodness, when they're telling me they're down on their knees for me, I know some good things are going to be happening, and I'm grateful for that. But I thank you for allowing me to share tonight, and I look forward to hearing from you.